Good morning and welcome to Bethany's Drive-In Worship Service on this beautiful Sunday morning prior to Labor Day. Whether you're here in our church parking lot or watching our streaming version on the web, we are glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. Now, if you have a prayer request, we ask that you text 540-495-0501, and Pastor Susan will include your request in our morning prayer. That's text 540-495-0501. Let's welcome our Heavenly Father to our service. Good morning, Father. As we gather to worship you this morning from our cars, from our chairs on the church lawn, or from our homes, we are thankful that you have seen us through another week. We are grateful that you are a loving and caring God who knows our every need, who stands with us in times of trouble, and who encourages us through your Spirit to reach out to others. Bless our efforts here and help us to be the church that you want us to be. May we be doing the kinds of things that you are blessing today. Bless Pastor Susan as she brings us your message, and may your Spirit guide and direct our worship. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please join me in singing our first song, Open Up the Heavens. And kids, if you brought your instruments or noisemakers, be sure to use them. You're going to be our rhythm section. Open Up the Heavens.
For this day, we gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your presence like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. want to see you, so open up the heavens. We want to see you, open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise.
Yes,
open up the heavens. We want to see you, open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
As we join together in worship this morning, you know, it's challenging because we're not in the sanctuary worshiping together. We're not in the same room. We have to wear masks and we have to be socially distanced, even sitting there in your vehicles. But I'm reminded that Christ said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So even though we are not in close proximity to one another, it is as he promised. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. So sing this song with me now, and let's sing the verse twice through. Pastor Susan will now have our children's moment.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you. We've got some folks on two legs and some folks on four legs, and that's very exciting this morning. I brought with me a basket, and you can probably see that it is a fairly open weave basket. And the reason I brought this was that our scripture this morning is about Moses, about how Pharaoh had ordered the death of all of the baby boys in Egypt. And so his mother, Moses' mother, gives birth and she has this little baby. She sees he's a fine baby boy. And of course, she wants to save him. So she takes a basket. And this was before we had, like, baby carriers and high chairs and all of those great things. But she takes the basket and she lines it with pitch to make it waterproof. And I don't know, I think maybe it had a lid on it or something. But what a precarious thing to have to do, to put a baby in a basket and send it down the Nile River. And what's kind of interesting to me is the same stuff that Noah used to make the ark waterproof, that's what Jochebed, Moses' mother, uses to make the basket waterproof. It's sort of like God is preserving life with this pitch, making things waterproof. So, you know, I wouldn't recommend sending a baby down a river in a basket, but if it was to preserve life, and in this case it was to preserve a lot of lives, I think God must have been there protecting that child and making sure that his people were saved people. So think about that. Next time you're on the river or putting something in a basket, what an amazing thing it was that his Moses' mother was able to save him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the ways that you work in the world. Help us to see where it is you are nudging things in our lives, making things work together for a greater good. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Exodus 1:8 through 2:10. Now a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in an event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmakers over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, and for Pharaoh. And the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service and mortar and brick and every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they were imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one who was named Sapphira and the other Par, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boy to live?" The midwives said to the Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives fear God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could not hide him no longer, she got a pauper's basket for him and plastered it with benim and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the water."
Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this amazing day, for blue skies and delightful weather. Lord, we thank you for your word that reminds us that our spiritual ancestors were slaves in Egypt. Lord, help us to see where you are at work in this text. Lord, help us to see where you are at work in our lives. May my words be your words, my message your message. In the name of Christ I pray, amen. Well, we're probably all familiar with this story. Maybe you've even seen the Ten Commandments or the animated movie, Prince of Egypt. And you're familiar with how this all goes. And what's interesting to me is, unlike some texts, God is not very obvious here in what he's doing. You might recall that a couple of weeks ago I talked about Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt, and then he was able to use his position in order to spare his family from famine. As a matter of fact, he saves all of Egypt from famine by interpreting a dream and encouraging them to build storehouses and store grain. But a time comes when the people forget, the kings forget, the Pharaoh forgets what the Hebrew people have done for them. And they're multiplying and growing in numbers, apparently not assimilating into Egyptian culture, because they're continuing to worship their God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so they're sort of set apart. And the new Pharaoh is getting worried. Scholars think that about 400 years goes by from the time of Joseph's death at the end of Genesis to the beginning of Exodus, where this unnamed Pharaoh shows up. And probably this Pharaoh was Ramses II, Ramses the Great, because he led a number of military campaigns and even one against Canaan. So he might have been thinking, oh, these people used to be nomads in that area, and so we don't want them to fight against us if we have conflict. And so he impresses the people into slavery, and he's doing a lot of building projects, so they're probably making bricks and hauling blocks of stone and things like that. And so it's not really a peaceful time for Egypt. They've had foreign invaders, and they've had to be more warlike, and now they're enslaving the Hebrew people. And the Pharaoh wants to keep them in their place, or what he considers to be their place. He doesn't want them to take over and to rise up against them. And so a lot of times when people are afraid, that's when they do things that, might be evil or questionable. And we don't know exactly what Pharaoh's name was, but it's interesting that there are some women who are really important in this story. Two of them are Shiphrah and Puah, the two midwives. And we don't know whether they were Israelites or they were Egyptians, but we do know that they believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They believed in the one true God. And so when Pharaoh says, I want you to kill the baby boys that are born, they decide not to do that. They are people who are on the side of life, not death. And so they come up with a story. They tell Pharaoh. Pharaoh notices that there are still Hebrew boys being born. And they say, well, you know, their Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They're working. They go into labor. They have the baby. And we get there and it's already too late to do anything. And it reminds me that when God's on your side, even a few people, maybe just no more than two, can make a big difference. And so this is like the only little mention of God in this passage. This what essentially is a whole chapter in Exodus. We hear that God rewards these two faithful women. And so they their names are preserved. We don't know exactly who the Pharaoh is, but these two women are important enough to get a mention. And the problem that Pharaoh has is he doesn't take into account the women. It's the women in the story who cause all the problems for him. And there's another woman who has a baby, Jochebed, and she has this baby, hides him for 3 months, realizes this isn't going to work, puts him in this waterproof basket, and sends him down the river for his salvation. And this is not a spur-of-the-moment plan. She has been looking around her and seeing what's going on, and she notices that Pharaoh's daughter goes every day to the same place in the river and bathes, and so she makes sure that the baby goes to that place at the right time, and Moses' older sister is helpfully there so that when Pharaoh's daughter takes the baby out of the river, she's there to say, oh, do you need a wet nurse for this child? Well, I know just the person for that. And so, and when you think about that, you think about holding a baby. I think this is the other great part of Jochebed's plan, is that there's something about holding a baby that just softens you up. You know, you see that new little life and you know how vulnerable it is and you want to protect it. That's the instinct of the midwives. That's the instinct, of course, of Moses' mother. That's the instinct of Pharaoh's daughter. She sees this child, and even though she knows that it's a Hebrew baby, that doesn't matter to her. She sees the child, and she wants to protect it. She wants to take it as her own. And I think that's God at work in this story as well, guiding that basket down the river, getting it to someone who will care for this child. And so even more than that, his mother is getting paid to take care of him. That's an amazing outcome. And so Moses is raised in the safety of Pharaoh's house. And so maybe God isn't extraordinarily present in this part of Exodus like he will be later with the burning bush and the staff and the plagues. But God is there. If we have eyes to look and ears to hear, it doesn't seem like God is doing a whole lot for the people who are in a precarious position. But God's fingerprints seem to be all over it. God is working quietly through the midwives, Shifra and Puah. God is at work helping Moses' mother figure out a plan, not just for Moses' salvation, but for the future salvation of all of his people. Although Moses is born into a dangerous situation, he's rescued and grows up in a protected place where he's educated and lives until he's forced to flee. God's time is not completely like our time. God's plan is not completely like our plans. I remember hearing this old joke about a man who climbs to the top of Mount Sinai in order to get close enough to talk to God. And he gets up to the top of the mountain and he says, God, what does 1,000,000 years mean to you? And God says, 1 minute. And the man asks, well, what does $1,000,000 mean to you? And the Lord says, 1 penny. And the man asks, can I have 1 penny? And the Lord says, 1 minute. God's time is not like our time, but God is at work around us. And maybe we should think of faith as being sort of like a guy who sits at a sonar post in a submarine. He has on his earphones and he's listening for the slightest sound to indicate the presence of another submarine or something else that's out there, something else that's running quiet and deep. There's really not much they can see with their eyes, but he is there listening, and the captain of the sub will make his decisions based on the faintest sounds that that man at his listening post hears. And one of the requirements of being a sonar technician is that you have normal hearing. Not extraordinary hearing, but normal hearing. That's all that's asked for. And the requirement spells out what normal hearing means in terms of frequencies that you're able to pick up. But I think that faith, too, seeks out the quiet sounds of God in a world that is filled with noise. It doesn't take extraordinary hearing or spiritual ears to hear the things that God is doing. It just takes some concentration, some time to appreciate the silence, and the ability to listen carefully. As Jesus said after telling one of his parables, let anyone with ears to hear listen. Faith believes that God is not only active in extraordinary situations, but also in ordinary ones, or in the ones that are some of both. And we might be in that kind of situation right now. There's a lot going on. We're 2 months away from a presidential election. That alone causes a lot of noise in our surroundings. We're in the midst of a pandemic. A disease that we don't know much about is rampaging. People are having to make decisions without enough information. And here we are in the midst of it all, where there are protests around the country. And who could blame a person for wondering if God is truly at work in the world? And yet, I think of people who are ushering hope into the world every day. People like Shifra and Pua, who are doing what they're called to do, and it may not look extraordinary, but I think that God is with them in their work. Teachers who are leaning into a new way of teaching. Students who are doing things very differently than they've done them in the past. Doctors and nurses taking care of all kinds of people. They are bringing hope into the world. And this might seem silly, but I appreciate the people at Chick-fil-A. They are so efficient. I mean, they're swamped. It seems like they're swamped every day, because the waffle fries are addictive. And there they are, patient, efficient, kind, getting everything done, smiling at people, bringing hope into the world. The people who stock the grocery stores and the ones who prepare the curbside pickup, they're bringing hope into the world. A rabbi once asked, "Where is God?" And he was answered, "Everywhere, everywhere." "No," said the rabbi, "God is everywhere we let God in." We can close our eyes to God's presence in the world around us, or we can open our eyes and see God in our midst, already sowing the seeds of recovery and redemption. God working quietly, but God at work. God staying behind the scenes, but definitely working through the lives of people who have opened themselves up to the presence of God. This old story from Exodus tells us that God is at work. God is part of the solution. This story from Exodus says God is at work. Yes and yes. God at work in the world, at work in our lives, even using us as instruments of hope. May our ears and eyes be open to the works of God in our midst. Amen. Well, I appreciate everyone who works to keep things running in the church, in this service. A great deal happens before we turn on the microphones and start our worship service. I appreciate all that they do and all that everyone else has done to support the church. Let us pray. Give prayers of thanks. Lord, I thank you for being with us as part of our worship service, as part of our life in the church. Bless all of those who give of themselves and give of what they have. Lord, bless it so that we might use it well and point to your presence in our midst. Amen. Well, I have a few announcements. Want to let you know that, yes, we are able to have in-person meetings at church. You just have to let the office know. And there's some other things, requirements, not unlike what we do to be outside our cars here at this service. And you can look at that in the happenings. Also, especially want to let you know that this is Johnny Barr's 100th birthday today. And there's going to be a drive-by, parade for him here in the parking lot. And that's going to happen from 1 to 3 p.m. So drive by and shout out a happy birthday wish to Johnny, who is just a really incredible, incredible person. Want to let you know that if you have a favorite hymn or praise song, you can turn that into, you can email it to the Bethany office email or my email. Let us know, and we will include it in, try to include it in one of the services. Cindy Kite is on vacation this week, but I will be around. And also, the office will be closed tomorrow for Labor Day. And the food pantry will not be happening tomorrow either. But the rest of the week, it'll be business as usual. I did hear a ping for our prayer line, or yes, I did. Okay, and Karen Ott has asked us to pray for her friend Donna, who has breast cancer and is having surgery on September 23rd. And I know that we want to be in prayer for Tom Gordon. He's having shoulder surgery on the 26th. And I think this was probably mentioned last Sunday. Prayers for my great nephew, Liam, who is now 4 pounds, 6 ounces. We'll have to be in the hospital for at least 4 more weeks. So keep him and his family in your prayers. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, Lord, we come before you, and sometimes we don't know exactly what to ask for in the midst of all that goes on in the world. But Lord, we come to you with open hearts. We lift up our concerns. Sometimes we lift them up aloud. Sometimes we keep them inside. But we know that when we bring them to you, you hear them. Lord, continue to bless us. Help us to be grateful for the things that are going right in our lives. Help us to persevere through the things that are not going so well. Lord, be with those who are in need of healing. And we pray for those around the world who are grieving the loss of loved ones. And we ask that you bring them hope. Hope through the power of the resurrection to bring new life. Lord, even though we are in strange times, continue to help us to be the church, the body of Christ, at work in the world. Because we know that even though we're out of the building, Lord, we are in your kingdom, given the responsibility to bring it together and to build it here in this place through the kind of love that your Son Jesus Christ showed us. Help us to display that love. Forgive us when we forget. Build us up and give us strength to do what you need to do through us. It is in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. And there he is. All right.
Thank you, Pastor Susan, for those words of encouragement that we certainly need in this day and time. Won't you join us now for our final song? And it's called God is on the Move, and you better believe it. Let's sing it together.
Anytime a heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know, I know, I know, I know, God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah, God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah, God is on the move today. Anytime in weakness someone falls upon their knees, or dares to speak the truth that sets men free. Anytime the choice is made to stand upon the word, I know, I know, I know, I know, God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move. I see a generation standing on the truth. In each and every nation, God's on the move.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul,
and someone says, send me, here I go. I know, I know, I know, I know. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. I see a generation standing on the truth. In each and every nation, God's on the moon.
Times, life is like a roller coaster ride. You just have to hold on and wait to get over the hills and the valleys. But may your ride be smooth. May God go with you. May you see God at work in the people around you. And in yourselves, amen.